ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Yeah, everyone please return the songbooks. Otherwise you can purchase them. Very good to have in your home if you don't already have them or in your possession. I carry a songbook with me wherever I go, all over the world. Bhagavad Gita and the songbook. These two I carry with me. For years and years, these two have been my companion. Bead bag, Bhagavad Gita and a songbook. These go with me everywhere. Right, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Say it again. Cell phone switch off and add the verb. The verb's already there in English. Cell phone switch off. Yeah, I know, there's sign there and sign there, but still, if you say it 100 times, still someone won't turn it off, and then it'll go off in. What should we do? Should we throw people out? Take them outside for 10 minutes? Take the phone, smash it with a hammer. Yeah, Telugu Anuvadam Akra, over there somewhere, outside. How do you say outside? Bayata. Baita. Telugu Anuvadam Baita. That's how you learn a language, but I'm not intending to learn Telugu this time round. So, continuing discussion of some of the innumerable pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His deity forms. He reciprocates with the devotee. We've all experienced this, I hope. Maybe not that Krishna is directly speaking to us, but we can feel his reciprocation, his blessings, appreciate his beauty. It depends on our consciousness. If we're in poor consciousness, then we won't see Krishna. We won't notice Krishna. If we're in pure consciousness, then we can appreciate Krishna is present. He's there to shower his blessings, Radha and Krishna. They want to deliver the devotees. Some deities, they're not the way that they used to be. They changed. For instance, in Puri, Tota Gopinath, who has been to Puri and taken darshan of Tota Gopinath. So, unusual deity. Unusual in which way? Sitting down. At least it's unusual for Krishna deities. Buddha deities are usually sitting down. Now, why is he sitting down? He used to stand up. He was worshipped by Gadadha Pandit. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. We say the name of Gadadha Pandit repeatedly. So he worshipped Gopinath on the tota. Tota is an Oriya word, I presume, for the seashore. Samudra ka kinara. Tarta. That's the bank. So it's called Tota Gopinath. So he used to stand up, but then he saw that Gadadha in his old age became difficult to worship him. So Gopinath very mercifully sat down. And he's been sitting ever since. Now, here's some deities. Maybe none of you have taken darshan of. In Vrindavan, there's so many deities. There's one temple of Gornitai, Pishima's Gornitai. Pishima is just it's a general term. You may say to a Bengali woman, older woman. Just like we called Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. It means aunt, like that. Yeah. So she lived in Vrindavan and worshipped Gornitai. There are many, many stories concerning her worship of Gornitai. She worshipped, just worshipping them just like her little boys. She was unmarried. But she... Oh, there are so many stories. I'm just talking about how they change the forms. So who's gone there? Who's had darshan of Pishima's Gornitai in Vrindavan? Probably none of you. Not so well known, actually. So when she was 100 years old, she turned over the worship to one devotee called Gopeshwar Goswami. But he said, I don't want to worship these deities because they're too small. You're worshipping them just like your little boys. But I don't worship in that mood. I'm more in the mood of Sakya Bhav. So they're too small for me. They should be bigger. I can't worship. So Pishima solved the problem. She put her fingers under the chin of Gaura Nitai, yanked them up a bit, made them a bit taller. Reminds us of how Balaram, when he was offered Revati to be his wife, because Balaram appeared in Dwarapa Yuga, and she was from Satya Yuga, she was too tall, so he got his plow, pulled her down. So, now, atheists don't believe this kind of thing. It doesn't fit with the laws of science. You can't do things like that. It's impossible. Yeah. That's why we worship Krishna and his devotees, because they can do whatever they like. They're not under the laws of science. They must be under the laws of science. It must be just an imagination. Yeah, for you it's an imagination. So, you're very interested in doing biological research. In your next life, you will be given a very good opportunity to do research, intimate research on stool, having become a worm in stool. But at that time, you won't be thinking of science. We believe in science. Yeah, we do too. It's called the laws of nature. Atheists and demons, they become not only worms in stool, they also become worms in earthworms, and they become trees and cats and dogs and sometimes human beings. They may even become very powerful demons. So many demons' names are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu is very famous. Hiranyaksha, Namuchi. There's one demon called Hayagriva. It's also a name of the Supreme Lord. There's so many Kala Nemi, so many demons are there. So sometimes they get a position like that, and sometimes they get the position of a worm in stool. And those who are very fortunate, they accept that Krishna can do whatever he likes. He's not under the modes of nature. So he reciprocates with his devotees. He appears as the deity. It's just a stone. No, not just a stone. Even the deities, you see how beautiful they are. Who can make such beautiful deities? All right, everyone knows they're carved out of stone, but who can make such beautiful forms? The descriptions are there in Shastra, but the carvers, they're also inspired by Krishna to make such a beautiful form. It's not just that they're doing, they're paid to do the job, and therefore they do it, but they're inspired by Krishna. We see some artists, you can see here, all the beautiful paintings. How can they do that? They're inspired by Krishna. Saraswati inspires how to make such beautiful artwork. There's a famous painter, B.G. Sharma. You've all seen his paintings. Inspired by Krishna. It's not just there's some cells floating around and they combine biologically to become a body. The atheist idea, we're just a bunch of chemicals, and in the brain there are some electrical impulses. Well, where does that ability to perceive such beauty and to represent it in art, where does that, what's that got to do with some cells and electrical impulses in your brain? Where does that come from? That sense of beauty that comes from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all beauty. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. It's this idea that everything is all chemicals. Well, in one sense you can say it's true in this material world. Bhumirapo nalo vayo kangmano buddhireva cha ahankara ityang me bhina prakriti rashtadha. This material world is made up of the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the gross, the sthula, and the subtle, sukshma, that mind, intelligence, and ahankar, egoism. And there can be more analysis, the different elements, the tanmatras, sound, touch, taste, smell, form, and sound, touch, taste, form, and smell. So, you can analyze more and more, but what makes the universe? What brings it to life? Well, that's the whole Purusha Sukta. Everything was there, but there was no life until the Supreme Lord entered it. Apart from that, Aparaya mitas tvanyang prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. There are the jivas, the spiritual element, which makes the whole world go on. Without that, there is no jagat. The jagat means jagat, gachititi jagat, that which keeps on moving. So how does it keep on? What is it? What is the principle that everything keeps on moving? That is the life principle, the jiva. And it's all overseen. Maya dhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. hetuna anena kauntaya jagadviparivartate. Everything is overseen by Krishna. Everything in this world. Maya adhyaksha. This word, there you go, told you. Someone will not turn off their cell phone. And they have to run out to answer the phone. More important than hearing Krishna katha. Adhyaksha has exactly the same meaning as oversee. Adhi means above, and aksha means eye, so it means oversee. Suyate comes into being. These words are still there, and I presume you have in Telugu also. Just like the maternity ward in the hospital. What's that called? Prasuti ghar. So, comes into being. Suyate, comes into being. So, this whole world with moving and non-moving beings comes into being under Krishna's supervision. Hetunanena kauntaya jagadviparivartate. So what's this got to do with deity pastimes? Well, when we have darshan of the Lord, we should know this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He describes himself in Bhagavad Gita. He describes himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. This morning we read the Bhagavatam verse about how the devotees, they like to see the forms of the Lord. Prasanna Vaktram, smiling face, Aruna Lochana, eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see these forms. So it's the same Supreme Lord. It's not that, well, Bhagavad Gita is there and it's all some philosophy, and that's all very philosophical, and then on the other hand we have bhakti, and that's all very sweet and beautiful deities. They're inseparable. But when we hear these narrations of the deities, we should know this is not just some stories, but this is the manifestation of everything that Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, everything we see, touch, taste, smell, feel and hear, it's all described in Bhagavad Gita. Everything is there. Everything in this world is going on under the three modes of material nature. Tribhir, gunamaya, bhava, edamanam adachagat. Mohitang nabhijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Everyone in this world is deluded by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, they cannot understand Krishna. But if we understand Krishna as he presents himself in Bhagavad Gita, we'll see that everything in this world is going on under the modes of material nature. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti janguna karanam guna sangosa sada sadyoni janmasu. Very instructive how the living being, the conditioned souls, are stuck in material nature and they try to enjoy the modes of material nature. I mean, they do. In so-called good species of life and bad species of life, it's the modes of nature working. But beyond this is Krishna and the spiritual world. So the deity form of the Lord is Krishna come to invite us. Come and serve me so that we can enter into the spiritual world. We can engage our senses in the service of Krishna. Sarvopadhi vinir muktam tatparat vena nirmalam rishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. To properly engage our services, our senses in the service of Krishna, we have to become free from all material conceptions. I, me and mine. All the material upadhis, the material designations, and taking Krishna to be supreme, tatpara, he is supreme, and pure in heart. In that status, if we engage the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses, means our senses are meant to be engaged in His service. That is called bhakti. So Krishna is very kind. He gives the opportunity that we can come to that platform by engaging in His service. By Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam. Today I'm especially talking about Archanam. Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. So Krishna will reciprocate, and having, just like Gadadhar Pandits, Tota Gopinath, he sat down and he's still sitting just to show, yes, I've reciprocated with my devotee. Those who are faithful, they will accept. Those who are not faithful, they won't accept. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Jagannath, he fainted in ecstasy. He ran into the temple, ran up to the front and just collapsed in ecstasy, unconscious. Later, he said, I won't do that, and I won't go close to Jagannath, I won't cause a disturbance. From the back, I will take darshan. From the back of the temple, at the Garuda Stambha. So he would see Jagannath as Krishna playing his flute. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath. There are so many... Near the beginning of the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the two whole chapters, long chapters, describing pastimes. One is describing the pastimes of Sakshi Gopal. Now, actually, before that comes the narration of Madhavendra Puri. And after that comes the narration of Sakshi Gopal. Two whole chapters. It is described as that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the way to Puri from Bengal the first time, just after he'd taken sannyas. Madhya Leela begins with a summary of the upcoming pastimes, the first chapter. then comes the description of Madhavendra Puri, who was a wandering mendicant, wandering sannyasi, who had taken the ajagaravritti, the mode of living of a python, which means that he accepted whatever came to him, literally yadricha lapa santushtaha. Whatever came to him, he took. If someone gave him some food, he would eat. If no one gave him food, he wouldn't eat. That's all. Someone who's very renounced, they may do madhu curry. They'll go to seven houses and beg food, and whatever they get, that's their food for the day. and the rest of the time they chant Hare Krishna. So this way they're not attached to any food or any such thing, and they save their time. All the time they'll spend in worshipping Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. But Madhavendrapuri didn't even do that. Not even that much arrangement for his bodily maintenance. Whatever came, if something came, he would take. If not, not. So one time he came to Vrindavan, and the day had gone on, and no one brought anything. And anyway, he sat under a tree and chanted Hare Krishna. All night he was, that was his practice. He would chant all night. So he sat down in the evening. He hadn't eaten anything all day, but he wasn't bothered. One beautiful boy, one cowherd boy from the village came and said, "Oh, the women of the village, they saw you and they sent some milk." Said, "Why are you fasting anyway? You shouldn't do that. In my village, no one fasts. Why should you? We feel a little upset that you've come to our village and you're fasting. It looks bad for us." So he said, "Anyway, you drink the milk and I'll come back and take the pot." So he drank the milk and he was looking. Where's that beautiful boy? Is he coming again? He was looking and looking, but no one came. So he went on chanting all night. Toward the end of the night, he dozed off a little. And in his dream, that boy came again and said, "Actually, I'm Krishna." "Gopal, and I've been waiting for you to come to serve me. When the Muslims came and attacked this area, the priests, they buried me in the jungle area and ran away. And I've been there ever since, so I'm very uncomfortable. Can you dig me out and serve me?" So the morning came and Madhavendra thought, "Oh, I saw Krishna, but I couldn't recognize him. Oh." Then he thought, "Now he's given me some service." So he called the local village people and said, "You have to dig in this area." So they dug and they brought out the deity. And of course, Madhavendra is just a wandering sannyasi. He doesn't have any money, any possessions, any such thing. But anyway, he organized all the local people, and they're very happy to arrange for the abhishek of the Lord, because he'd been living in the earth for some time and he was feeling very uncomfortable. So this went on for 30 days, very opulent abhishek with water and milk and so many things. So Madhavendra now, he was now in charge of a deity. Krishna had come to him personally. He wanted him to serve him. In that chapter that's described, Braja Bhashya, what is that? Braja Bhashya Shobhav Gopale Priti. Gopale Shobhavik Braja Bhashya Rati. Something like that, I can't remember exactly. But it says that the Rajavasis, they naturally have love for Gopal, and he naturally has love for them. So they all became very happy. This deity has come to us, and Madhavendra Puri oversees the worship. So the worship was going on for some time, and after some time, again Gopal came in the dream of Madhavendra and said, "I'm still feeling very hot. I was under the earth for some time, even despite all these abhishekas. I need some chandan. So you just go to Puri, there's lots of chandan there, and you bring back chandan, and then you will then you bring it back and rub it on my body. That's the only way I can see to cool down. I'm feeling too hot. So Madhavendra, he set off again, just on the order of the Lord. He set off for Puri, walking, of course. Sannyasis only walk. They don't go in vehicles. They're not even allowed to go in bullock carts. Well, things have changed. That Chandrasekharendra, the former Shankaracharya at Kanchi, he followed that, no walking. So sometimes he came to Chennai walking. To go from Kanchi to Chennai is not very long. If you drive, it would take you, well, if you go early in the morning without any traffic, you could maybe go, what, in 45 minutes, 1 hour? 1 hour, 1 hour. And by the local train also, the local train goes out that far. So maybe it takes about 1 hour. But by walking, it would take a few days. So he followed that. So he set out. How is he going to get chandan? It's very expensive. How is he going to get that? And how is he going to bring it back with so many thieves and rogues, professional dacoits on the roads? But he didn't consider it. Gopal gave me the order, I'll do it. In that chapter there also comes this observation of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. That, what is that? Vairagya Pradhan. Mahaprabhu Bhakta Gana Vairagya Pradhan Jaha Deki Prita On Gaura Bhagavan. That the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course Madhavendra Puri was the grand spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but that is Mahaprabhu Bhakta Gana. In the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya is prominent, detachment from this world. Seeing that in his devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very pleased. So, Madhavendra Puri set off. In those days, the way to go from that side, the western side of India, to Puri, you would go along the bank of the Yamuna up to Allahabad, then along the bank of the Ganga, to Bengal, then you'd come down. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this route when he went to, when he took sannyas also. Then all the devotees, the regular path from Bengal to Puri was mostly the pilgrims would go. And they would take a detour just a little bit inland to go to Remuna. Yeah, because the Ganga comes and then takes a turn. The main course goes into what's now called Bangladesh. But the Ganga, the actual Ganga, comes down to Ganga Sagar. So Madhavendra Puri, he went on this path. He came down to Remuna, where there's another deity, another Gopinath. The form is carved by Lord Rama with his arrow. Sita Devi, she wanted to see that form, which hadn't appeared in this world, in this day of Brahma. She wanted to see that form. Because when they were flying over in the Pushpak Vimana, on the way back from Lanka to Ayodhya, they passed over this area, and Lord Rama became very happy. Oh, this is Remuna, very pleasing place. So they came down, and he described, there's so many cows there, and Rama said, this describes me of my Krishna Leela. So then Sita Devi asked, I'd like to see, how are you in that Leela? So he made the deity, he carved the deity from with his arrow, and then so he's there. That's Gopinath. And there's that story then again. So already twice Krishna has appeared to Madhavendra Puri in his dream. Then Madhavendra Puri was there at the temple, and the bhog was offered to Gopinath. Looking for mosquitoes, huh? I'll let you know if there's any mosquitoes to wish away. Otherwise, better not do it, because little A, even little air makes my voice is quite weak. So you can just wait, and if there are any mosquitoes, I'll let you know. So Madhavendra saw such nice deity offerings. I can feel it here, but so that's the bite from 5 minutes ago. So you think it's still being bitten, but it's not there actually, it's gone away already. So he saw that offering, and there's one famous offering there of kheer, which at that place means boiled down milk. It's actually not kshiranna. Prabhupada translates that as sweet rice, but at least the way it's prepared now. Yeah, if you say kheer in some languages in India, it means rice cooked with milk. In Oriya, kheera, it just means milk, and that's the original meaning also. So there, it's boiled down and very thick and rich and tasty. Not as thick as the Radharaman. Radharaman in Vrindavan, it's completely solid. It's cooked down so much. So Madhavendra Puri thought, oh, that looks like a very nice offering. If I could taste a little, then I would understand how to cook this, and then when I go back, I can offer to my Gopal in Govardhan. Then he thought, ah, what am I thinking? I'm just thinking of sense gratification. I'm thinking how to taste that prasad. And he chastised himself. Actually, it wasn't a thought of sense gratification. He was thinking how I could taste it for offering to my Gopal. Anyway, he chastised himself. But what happened in the night, the pujari, Gopinath said, hey, wake up. Wake up, because when you made the offering to me, I hid one pot. You didn't notice. I kept that for my devotee, Madhavendra Puri. So you have to wake up and go, and you'll find that pot behind the curtain where I hid it. So you'll find in the bazaar, the bazaar area that would be empty at the time of night. So you'll find him sitting there chanting Hare Krishna. So go and bring it to him. So the pujari woke up and took a bath, entered, and he saw there's a pot of this kheera. And then he took that out, and he went in the market area and called out, where is Madhavendra Puri? Where is that fortunate person for whom Krishna himself has stolen the sweet rice, stole it away from us? He's supposed to give it to us after we offer, but he stole it away for you. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport comments that the pujari must have been a pure devotee just like Madhavendra, because the Lord came in his dream like that, gave him an order. So Madhavendra Puri, he took that kheer and went on immediately without waiting. He went to Puri because he thought that If I wait around here, then everyone's going to find out that the Lord stole. Yeah, there's a mosquito there. They like blood. Ooh, that's what you get for eating meat. So he thought, everyone's going to be praising me, so I'll get out of here. I'll leave quickly. He didn't want to be praised. So that deity is now known not just as Gopinath, but Kirachora Gopinath. Or Kirachora Hari. Who's been there? Who's taken darshan there? Generally, when the devotees go from... Well, nowadays they go by train, but it used to be they'd walk, everyone would go... There's a description, one British man has made a description. At the time before Rath Yatra in Puri, on the road from Bengal to Puri, it would be just packed with thousands of people for miles and miles and miles. There's so many people would go from Bengal to Puri. And of course the population of India was much less at that time. So many people would go. So Madhavendra Puri went on toward Puri, Jagannath Puri. But his reputation went ahead of him. The news had gone ahead. There's a great sannyasi. He's such a powerful, such a sannyasi that the Lord has stolen this kiya just for him. So he didn't want that, but his reputation went ahead of him. And it was actually very useful for him, because then all the local officials and the king, and they all arranged. So you came here to get chandani, and no idea, he's a penniless sannyasi. And how is he going to purchase so much expensive chandani? But it was all arranged for him, and it was arranged for a bullock cart and guards, because even today if you take a load of chandan, then you have to have guards. You wouldn't think that wood would be so expensive, but it's so expensive that chandan smuggling still goes on in India today. It's a good business. No one smuggles Bisleri water. It's cheap. There's no smuggling of that, but... And they're all the permits, so they could pass the tax collectors. See, it's not just in the modern age that it's all organized. They had all these things long ago. There was trade going on between India and what we now call the Middle East. Ships were going back and forward. So there were all these kind of things. There were taxes and duties. It's not something just invented recently. So they went back via Remuna, and again the Lord appeared in the dream to Madhavendra Puri. His Gopal said, "You know, this Gopinath here, he's the same as me, right? Same Krishna. So you just stay here, and every day you have the chandan prepared, the sandalwood pulp prepared, and rub it on the body of Gopinath, and that will take away my bodily heat. So that will save you the trouble." It's very troublesome to carry this chandan all the way, such a long way. So Madhavendra Puri stayed there for several months till it was all finished. So that's the story. And then there's so many stories of how... some unusual stories of how that deity became worshipped in the Vallabh Sampradaya and is now known as Srinathji. In Nathdwara. Okay, who's been there to Nathdwara? Even just, it's nice to discuss, just even to think. How nice it is. There are so many havelis all over the places of the Dalab Sampradaya, where they worship Srinathji. Some time ago we went in Secunderabad, wasn't it? Were you there? We went to one haveli, we visited there. You took me there, was it? Gauranga Prasad arranged that. He arranged for that, yeah. Hmm? Yeah, yeah, Srinathji. Haveli means Srinathji. When we say haveli, it usually refers to a temple of Srinathji, which they're all over. And in Dubai also. In Bahrain, there are haveli, because the Sindhi Bhatia community, merchant community, they're all worshippers of Srinathji. So they went there many generations ago, and the worship is going on, still there. So it's very, very pleasing to enter their temple. Every temple of Krishna, that atmosphere should... It's not... the deity is there, but the devotees, they manifest. The devotees... some temples you go and the pujari is just all rough. Hey, give some money. Or something like that. And you spoils the whole experience. So it should be that in our temples, when people come, actually there should be all the... As far as possible, there should be kirtan going on all the time, or some discussion of Krishna consciousness. Everyone should get some prasadam. So when we go to the temple, we feel, such nice spiritual atmosphere. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the next chapter is that the story of Sakshi Gopal, another deity called Gopal, who was in Vrindavan. He's not in Vrindavan now. He's in a village called Shakhi Gopal near to Puri. So that story is there. One from South India, one old Brahmin and one young Brahmin. Young Brahmin, they went on pilgrimage to Vrindavan, means by walking. There are many advantages to going by walking. One thing is you can visit all the holy places on the way. So they went, and the older Brahmin pledged to the younger Brahmin, "You served me so nicely, I'll give you my daughter. I'll give you my daughter. You can marry my daughter." The younger Brahmin said, I didn't serve you I didn't want anything from you. I just served you because I know that by serving the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, Krishna is pleased." But he said, no, I'll give you. Anyway, he said, "Anyway, it's not possible because you're from a very high class Brahmin family, and our jatis, they don't intermix. So your family members won't allow it." He said, no, I've said it must happen. So he said, "Okay, we need a witness. So that your word will be upheld, you gave your word in a holy place, so there should be someone to witness this. Okay, we'll go to the temple of Gopal, and Gopal will be the witness." Because people, if they say something in a temple, they won't dare to say a lie. Nowadays, I don't know, but previously, no one would dare. If you give your word in a temple, in front of the Lord, in front of the deity, that means it must be the truth. Because no one will dare to tell a lie in front of the Lord. So he gave, the older Brahmin said, in front of Gopal, "I pledge my daughter in marriage to this younger Brahmin." So they went back to the village. They went back to the village. Six words, but it would be months and months of travel, especially an older man. And they went back, and they stayed back, and some time went by. And the older Brahmin didn't say anything to the younger Brahmin, because he thought, oh dear, oh, my family members will never agree to this. So he was quiet. He didn't say anything. But after some time, the younger Brahmin, because he didn't want that the... not that he was lusty for the daughter, but he thought that he's given his word, so he should fulfill that. So he, one day he very politely went to the older Brahmana and said that, you remember that you pledged your daughter to me? And then the son of that Brahmana became very upset. Said, what? You want to marry my sister? You? Low-class wretch! What is this nonsense? And then he chased him out of the house. Then the older Brahmana said, actually, I pledged. It's true, I pledged. And the son said, were there any witnesses? Said, yeah. Oh, no. Who is the witness? Gopal, the deity in Vrindavan. Oh, good, the deity in Vrindavan. Aha, that's no problem at all. Because he thought, a deity, what does it mean? A deity is a word. It's just some stone, that's all. He was an atheist. The son was an atheist. So the son said, okay, we'll call a meeting. The younger Brahmin, he called a meeting of all the people, and the son said to his father, you just say, I can't remember, and I'll look after everything else. So, meeting was called of the village people, and the younger Brahmana said that this gentleman, he pledged his daughter in marriage to me, now he's not doing that. And the son, the older man, he said, well, I can't exactly remember. And the younger Brahmana said that, well, this wretch, this Brahmana, so-called Brahmana, he poisoned, he fed dhatura to my father, and he made his mind go crazy. So the people, they didn't know. I often have that situation myself. Someone comes to me and says, so-and-so said this or did this. And someone else says, no, it's not like that. And how am I to know? So-and-so did this. No, I didn't do it. They're telling a lie. And how can I tell? Someone's lying. They have enough... They might not lie in front of the deity, but they're bold enough to lie in front of me. Happens with my own disciples sometimes. So then the son of the younger Brahmin said, no, you see, he gave his word. He said, is there any witness? He says, yeah, Gopal, the deity in Vrindavan. They said, oh yeah, okay, so you bring the witness and then we'll accept it. So they were both happy. Because the younger Brahmana thought, okay, Gopal is the witness. I'll go and bring him. And the son of the older Brahmana thought, no deity is going to come here. Those stupid people, they believe in deities. And deity's there. Let him be there. No, so they were both satisfied. They both agreed to this. They put it in writing. Legal arrangement. If Gopal comes, then that will be evidence. So the younger Brahmana walked to Vrindavan again, went in front and said, remember, you're a witness. Now you have to do your duty, legal duty. You have to come back with me. You have to walk back with me to our village in South India. And Gopal said, well, I never heard of a deity walking. And the younger Brahmana said, well, if you can talk, you can walk. And Gopal was checkmated. Okay, I gave my word and now I have to go. So he told him that you walk, I'll come behind, but you don't turn behind and look at me. If you look at me, I won't go any further. But every day you cook an amount of rice and offer it to me, and you can just cook that and offer, and you can take prasad. You have to beg that wherever you go. And you'll know that I'm there by hearing the Nupur Dhvani. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. You'll hear me walking behind. So they went, tinkle, 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 all the way back to South India. And that Vijayanagar. And they just came to the edge of the village, and the Brahmana thought, I'll just go ahead now and tell the people that Gopal has come. So he turned round to Gopal and said, you just wait here and I'll bring the village people. And they're all very happy to behold the beautiful form of Gopal, who from that time became known as Sakshi Gopal. He became a witness in a court case. It was all a legal case. So that deity, a beautiful temple was built. Later, that was at Vijayanagaram, and that was in the line of Krishna Deva Rai. And from Orissa, there was the Purushottam Dev, was the king. He was devotee of Jagannath. So they were both Vaishnavas. They fought with each other. Kings fight. And Gopal was brought to Puri. That time, the Purushottam Dev, the king of Orissa, he defeated Krishna Deva Rai, and he talked, oh, very nice deity. I think you should come, I'll worship you there. Anyway, he went to Puri, but he didn't get on very well with Jagannath. Sakshi Gopal and Jagannath, they had some quarrel about how much bhog, you're eating so much. I should also. So there was some quarrel. And so Gopal left and just came. He came to Katak, actually, first of all. And then from Katak he moved to that village now known as Sakshi. No, I'm getting it all mixed up. First of all, he came to Katak. The kings of Orissa, they were in Katak. And his temple is still there. Then he came to Puri. They thought it was better to be in Puri. He didn't get on with Jagannath very well. Now he's in his own village, Satyabhamapura, just outside. Sometimes deities quarrel also. That, as described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Sachi Mata, she used to worship Krishna and Balaram. So one time she saw in a dream that Krishna and Balaram are quarreling with Nityananda and Gauranga about who gets the bhog. Sachi Mata is cooking all of this, and they say, hey, you don't eat it, we're going to eat it. So no, we're the deities, we should eat it. So no, in Kali Yuga, we are you, so we should eat it. So in this way, Gaur Nithai were quarreling with Krishna and Balaram. Brajendra Nandanjay Sachi Shuta Hoilo Shay Balarama Hoilo Nithai. You see, now we are Gaur Nithai. So your time is over. Give all of it to us. That would be Nityananda, especially. He would. Gauranga's more. He's not. generally not so like that. But Nityananda, he's like that. He'll eat and eat and eat and then tell you that it's not enough. So Sakshi Gopal, there's a very beautiful story there that he was there in Cuttack, and the queen, she was also a great devotee, just like her husband was a great devotee. And she had a nose ring, very precious, valuable nose ring with a pearl. And she thought, I'd like to give that to Gopal, but how can I do it? Because, you know, the deity's there, his form is of stone, and you need a hole. The hole is usually made in the childhood, so the hole can be there. So she was, I'd like to, but unfortunately I can't. And Gopal came, Gopal came in her dream and said, when I was a young boy, my mother made a hole in my nose. So you can put the, you can put that. What's that called? The nose ring? What's that called? No, there's a, what's the word for that? Bulana, something like that. That was, the pujari went and looked and saw, oh, there's a hole in the nose, and so that was offered to. So all these are very nice to tell, all these pastimes. Krishnadas Kaviraj has given that, so many pastimes. We read Bhagavad Gita, we learn Krishna is supreme, and these pastimes, they show how even we living in this material world, Krishna will reciprocate with us. It may not be like this, the deity form. Maybe, maybe not. There are so many. We can see Krishna in our life, how he arranges so many things for his devotees. So like I said, there are hundreds and thousands of such stories, and they're going on even now. The pastimes of Krishna. Adapiho jailila kore gaurarai kono kono bhagyavane deki bhare pai. Even today, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are going on, and those who are very fortunate, they can directly see that. As I said this morning, quoting Srila Prabhupada, that he said about Radha Landanishvara, unusually named deity, Radha Landanishvara. And in Paris, Radha Paris Ishvara. Srila Prabhupada, about Paris, he always said that it's very, Paris is very famous for illicit sex and the beautiful French women. So Srila Prabhupada, installing Radha Paris Ishvara, said that Krishna has come to Paris to find a beautiful girl. Who's the beautiful girl? Guess who? Radharani. Then Radha Landanishvara, Srila Prabhupada said about him, actually this Krishna, Radha Landanishvara is not a deity. He's Krishna pretending to be a deity. If you could understand what that means. Prabhupada understands. So that story of how Radha Landanishvara came to Srila Prabhupada, I've heard it told in different ways and it's written down in different ways. Like most of these stories, you'll hear different versions. But anyway, the gist of it is as follows, that the devotees were making the first temple of Krishna in London, in Europe, They were going to install the first deities, larger size, not very large, not Madan Mohan. Here, Radha Madan Mohan, they're very big. I think these must be the tallest deities that Srila Prabhupada installed. They're significantly taller than any others. But even Radha Landanishvara, compared to many of the other deities who Srila Prabhupada installed, a little short. Radha Govinda in New York, they're also quite big. So some are big, some are small. Gopinath in Sydney, they're quite small. So the temple was being built and arranged, and the opening date had been given. It was December the 10th or 14th, something like that, 1969. And was it 69? Yeah, I think it was. And everything was going on. The building was being built, arranged. The only thing was there were no deities. And there was no arrangement to bring deities. 2 weeks to go, everything's arranged for the installation, but where are the deities? Prabhupada said, don't worry, you make the arrangements, Krishna will come. So devotees, well, they're getting in anxiety, you know, again, we're going to have a deity installation, there are no deities. What do you need for a deity installation? Well, you need brahmanas and fire sacrifice, and ghee, and well, the main thing is you have to have deities. There's no deity installation without deities. That makes sense, doesn't it? So, about 2 weeks before the installation was due, one Indian man gave a phone call, an Indian man living in England, and said, I heard you're having a deity installation, you don't have any deities. I've got some deities of Radha and Krishna. Maybe you're interested in them. So Shama Sundar, who was arranging that temple, said, oh, one man phoned like this. Are you interested to go and see those deities? Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada, as I said, okay, let's go. So this man, he was, what had happened, he had brought who we now know as Radha Landanishvara. He had brought them for installing in a Hindu temple. But Radharani in transport, Radharani's finger had become slightly chipped. So according to all the rules and regulations, you can't install deities if there's any damage in the form. So this man thought, oh, I spent so much money bringing these deities, maybe these Hare Krishna people will buy them from me. So Prabhupada went there with a few of his disciples. And he went in the house, and the man was interested in the talking about the deities. But Prabhupada didn't. He went and said, oh, yeah, which part of India are you from? And here's your family, this, this, that, that. Prabhupada made small talk, as if he was not in the slightest bit interested in the deities. And after some time, the man said, oh, I'm the deities, you came for the deities. Prabhupada said, okay, where are they? And then he showed them. Prabhupada said, no. Didn't look very interested. He said, they look quite heavy. Do you think you could pick them up? He said to Tamal Krishna and Shama Sundar. They understood. Ah, oh, yeah, we'll try and pick them up. Tamal Krishna picked up one, Shama Sundar picked up the other. Said, okay, let's go. And they walked out. So they had the van waiting there. They just took them to the van. He said, Swamiji, Swamiji. And they drove off. Srila Prabhupada's a transcendental thief. He stole Krishna. There was no money to buy deities anyway. And anyway, Prabhupada didn't want to pay for him. So they drove off, they went a few streets, and then they said, stop. Because then Prabhupada, who had just been ignoring the deities up to that point, then he stopped, then he came before Radha and Krishna and chanted, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpavri. And Radha Lala Nishra were installed. And that's a whole story in itself, how in the installation day, the parapet over the marble slab had not been affixed, because everything, the whole work wasn't finished. There was a marble slab on two pillars right above Radha and Krishna, but it wasn't fixed properly. So during the installation, that started to wobble and the marble fell down. Prabhupada saw that and immediately went and stood and held up the marble, huge slab, which a young man couldn't even do, but he's Srila Prabhupada, an old man, holding up that slab. Immediately he saw it's going to crash down on top of Radha. Immediately went and stood and held that up. And the BBC was there filming the whole procedure. This is all behind the curtain. The curtain was still closed. And Prabhupada said, he said to his, take this out. So they took out the marble slab and the two pillars, and the BBC was filming it as if it was part of the ceremony. Some of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. We don't know. Srila Prabhupada installed so many deities. We don't know what was going on between him and Krishna. He gave us their service. Gokulananda was installed by Srila Prabhupada a few years later, just a little bit northwest of Radha Landanishwara. When I was allowed to join this movement in 1975, it was a very poverty-stricken situation at the temple of Radha Gokulananda. And the offerings of garlands were just some few flowers and some leaves from the garden, because the devotees didn't have any money, and the deity offerings were very scanty, and devotees' prasadam was pretty austere in those days. And the prasad, just making very small offerings, devotees would stand in a long line to get a little bit of mahaprasadam, because that was the only tasty food. They'd get little tiny bit in their hand, little bit of mahaprasad. The mahaprasad was highly valued. The only, of course, every Sunday devotees would have the feast. Otherwise, during the week, it's very austere. Anyway, the GBC was changed, and he immediately said, okay, the first thing we've got to do is feed Krishna, because he looks skinny. You're not feeding him. So immediately he started that, okay, now all the devotees have to go out and collect money, and then immediately we're going to start feed. So I started immediately Mangalarti, 120 big milk sweets, otherwise it was just a tiny little offering, big opulent offerings, and within just a short, within maybe 2 weeks, all the clothes of Krishna didn't fit him anymore. He'd become, everyone could see, you can see the photos before and after, just like you see in the advertisements, before and after, you'll see some fat woman and she becomes thinner, but it was round the other way, there was skinny Krishna and he became fatter. So who said Krishna's stone? Well, in one purport, Prabhupada writes that everyone knows that the deity is made of stone, but he's not just stone. People who are stone-hearted, they don't see Krishna. What's that story? Yathoktakari, that deity is there in Kanchi. It means... literally means who followed the order of his devotee. What was the devotee told him? The devotee was in Kanchi and the king didn't like him and he told him, get out from here. So which devotee was that? I can't remember. So devotee left Kanchi on the order of the king and the deity started following him. He said, if you're going, I'm going. The devotee said, no, no, you better stay, you go back. So he went back. So he's known as Yathoktakari. He followed the order of his devotee. But he's lying down the other way around because he's feeling... He came back and he was confused. He lay down on the wrong side. So all the deities you'll find in South India, most of the deities are lying down. But he's lying down on the other side. When he came back, he got confused. He's lying down. So this is Krishna. He shows himself. He manifests himself in so many ways. There's just a few. The oceans of pastimes of Krishna. His pastimes are going on even now. This Srila Prabhupada said this whole Hare Krishna movement is the pastime. It's the Sankirtan pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's going on even now. Hare Krishna. We see Krishna's effect. How by the holy names, by prasadam, by Prabhupada's books, people are changing. Hearts change. It's all the pastimes of Krishna. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there just on time, 8 o'clock. And we'll now sing Damodar Ashtakam.